Hey party people, how are we doing? How are we feeling? Welcome back to another episode of the Growing Pains podcast. I'm your host, Allison LaRue. I'm so happy you're here. So great to have you back. So happy to be here. If you are on video version, you can tell I'm in a different environment. I am indeed in my grandmother's spare bedroom in Pennsylvania. So if you hear a whole ruckus happening in the background, I'm hoping that you won't because of the mic that I have. I think it just should be great and should work out good. But nonetheless, I'm in Pennsylvania. If you listen to my last episode, I sort of give you a life update telling you everything up until the point of me leaving Florida pretty much. I did the road trip. I left Florida. I'm in Pennsylvania and there's been a change of plans. If you've been keeping up with me, you know I was leaving Florida and moving to Boston. If you know me, you shouldn't be surprised by the fact that I'm not moving to Boston now. Where am I moving? Excellent question. I don't know that yet, but what I do know is that I'm going to Europe in 3 weeks. I'm going to be backpacking around Europe, which honestly I'm so excited for. Make sure you follow my YouTube. That way you can stay up to date with all of that because I'm going to be recording, one, my entire Europe trip. How long will I be there? That's another good question. A minimum of a month, maximum of 3 months. Where am I going? Another excellent question from the viewers. Nobody asked, but I know for sure I'm going to Dublin because that's where my flight and first hostel is booked to. After that, I have a rough idea. Like, I think I want to go to Edinburgh, Scotland. I know I want to go to London. I want to go to Amsterdam and I want to go to Switzerland. I really want to go to Italy and France. Like, there's so many places in Europe I really want to go to, but I'm reminding myself that I have my entire life. Like, I'm not like ticking things off of a bucket list just to be able to say I did it. I'm not running out of time. I don't have to rush. Like if I'm over there and it like presents itself of like, let's go to Italy, then I'll be like, yes. And when I say it presents itself, I mean like an opportunity or it just feels right to do that. I'm just traveling alone. So that's not someone telling me to let's go to Italy. That's if anything, me. Anyways, so I'm really excited. I gotta be honest, I'm nervous. I get nervous before any big thing like this. This is the biggest solo travel trip I've ever done. I've never been overseas. I've never been out of North America. I'm like really excited. This is something I've wanted to do for so long. And on top of that, not only is it uncomfortable because it's the furthest away I've ever gone, it's like such a massive culture shock to me. I grew up around a lot of Mexican culture. So like when I went to Mexico, it was very familiar to me. But also, I've never backpacked before. This is the first time I'm doing like minimalist traveling. But I'm going to be taking like you along on the journey on my YouTube and on my TikTok, showing you like what I'm packing, what I got for the trip, everything like that. And I'm really excited. But honestly, that's the majority of the updates that I have for you right now. Being in Pennsylvania is just being in Pennsylvania. Same old, same old. I talk about this every time. There's something stuck in my tooth. Every time in Pennsylvania, it's just like being around family or like being where you grew up, you know, being around family, being around childhood friends. I feel like you almost regress back to that age mentally, or like certain behaviors come back or try to at least. I've noticed every time I leave and come back, it's like less and less and less. But it also is great for me because it shows me what I still need to work through. And in the past, you know, I'd come back and shit with my family would come up and I was like, okay, didn't heal that. This time it's my body, like body image issues. I'm really struggling with that. This trip back in Pennsylvania, it's like really fucking with my head, honestly. And I'm sharing because I think transparency is important and like, I'm a human, you know, I feel these things too, even though I really work through them, but I'm just like really hating my body while I'm here. And I feel like it's changed so much, even though like, so people in my family have a really bad habit of commenting on my body. And like when I was at my heaviest and my biggest, and I want to emphasize like being at your heaviest isn't a bad thing, you know, But when I was at my heaviest, they all commented on it and were like, oh, you look so much better then. Like, I would have killed to have your body then, blah, 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 blah. And this time, it's like one specific family member just keeps harping on it. And like, I think they think it's a compliment because they're saying things like, oh my God, you are getting so skinny. Sorry if you hear that. And also, like, I hate when people tell me I'm getting skinny because literally, no, I'm not. First of all, I'm not skinny at all. But they're just like, you're losing so much weight. Oh my God, you almost look like you did that time when you looked so good. And it's just like, stop talking about my body. Like, I know they think it's like them being nice, but it's just like, oh my God, stop. You're driving me fucking insane. Like, I'm going, it's just, I don't know. I just wanted to share that because I feel like I want to start talking more at the beginning of these episodes of like my life, sort of what I used to do on podcasts of just, you know, having a conversation, talking about my life, being transparent, being open, talking about what's on my mind, and then just like talking about what I want to talk about. I can't lie for a second there. I felt like the episodes had to be super planned out, or like I got really in my head about what I needed to talk about in the episodes, because I think when I started to gain followers, or even when these videos started to get views, it sort of, I don't want to say it went to my head, but I had these thoughts of like, I have to make videos just to get good views. Like, I need to only talk about things that a lot of people want to hear. But it's like, no, I need to talk about the things that I want to talk about. I need to talk about the things that I wish I would have heard. So that's what I'm doing. And my favorite types of podcasts aren't when people are just speaking at you. Yeah, those are great. But like, I also like the entertaining ones where we're just having a conversation and I feel like I'm hanging out with a friend, you know? And if there's topics you guys want me to talk about, I'm more than happy to do that. But also, I don't want to feel like I'm just this like education platform of like, I don't know. I don't know if that's making any sense, but don't get me wrong. Like, I've loved all the episodes I've done, whether it be on ADHD or, you know, toxic friends or growing up, whatever. I just felt like I was getting a little bit away from what I actually wanted to do. And once again, I loved doing those things, but I just need to incorporate the conversation more. But in today's episode, I'm doing a Q&A, which is funny because I just said, whatever. I love doing Q&As because I don't have to use too much brain power. And right now my brain is not really working. I'm just feeling a lot of exhaustion right now. I think my last couple of weeks in Florida plus the 14-hour drive are really catching up to me. That's a lot to do. And now I'm just like resting, which also is contributing to my hatred towards my body right now. And I'm trying not to say that because I really don't ever want to say I hate my body again. I love my body and I'm so grateful for my body, but my mind has been fighting me and being very mean to my body lately. But I think just because of how much I've been resting and I haven't been working out or going on my walks or getting outside much because it's so damn cold and I've not been eating the best, like I've just been getting in my head a lot and I'm trying not to do that because I deserve rest. I deserve rest. And also, whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just be nice to your body and know that everything comes in phases and like, just stop. It'll all be okay. Okay, so I'm going to answer some questions that people ask me between Instagram and then that, I think it's Not Gonna Lie app. It's the one where you can post on your Instagram stories and people can ask anonymous questions. But the first question is how to deal with guilt around rest, which is interesting. I think the first part of like dealing with guilt around rest is asking yourself, like, what am I feeling guilty about, you know? Like, for example, with me, I don't feel guilty about resting. I feel guilty because I correlate rest to like being unhealthy in my head, which isn't the case at all. And I want to reiterate, that's not the case at all. You just have to get to the bottom of like, why do I feel guilty about resting? You know, and in my head, I correlated rest with being unhealthy just because some of the unhealthiest phases of my life, I was doing nothing but resting, but also like, my nervous system needed the rest, you know? And there's ways that you can rest and still be healthy. And that's what I'm learning. But everyone's reasoning for feeling guilty about rest is different. Maybe your parents called you lazy growing up, or maybe like there's a million different reasons why you can feel guilty about rest. And also just like hustle culture is horrible. Our generation, not even necessarily our generation, but partly just like hustle culture. It's ingrained in our brains that you like always be on that grind, and you know what I mean, just like hustle and so you can sleep when you die culture. Like, rest is productive. We need rest. You deserve rest. Resting is productive for our bodies, for our minds, for our nervous system. Like, rest is crucial. And if you feel tired, listen to that. But also, I think I felt so guilty about rest for so long because it was like my extreme fatigue came from my ADHD. So I was just like constantly feeling like I needed to rest. So I would just say, get to the bottom of like, why do you feel guilty about resting? You know, what are the stories connected to this? What do you think is bad about resting? What bad thing do you think will happen? Or like, why is resting bad? And then like, work through that and affirm yourself that that's not the case. Social rejection, thinking everyone has something against you, how to work through this. I'm having so many technical difficulties right now. My mic just shut off. A minute ago, my grandmother walked in. So sorry if it's seeming choppy. But I think this is going to be different for everybody. With feeling like everyone hates you or has something against you, I think the biggest thing here is developing a sense of self, learning to love yourself. And that's such a cheesy statement at this point. But like, who are you? What do you like about yourself? Why do you, you know, developing a sense of self and really getting to know yourself and getting to, because as you get to know yourself, you gain respect for yourself and you gain love for yourself and you gain trust in yourself, you know? And once you have a deep sense of self, once you know who you are and once you love that person, who cares if people have things against me? And you'll also begin to realize that like a lot of the feelings of thinking people have things against you is a projection. You know, when you walk into a room and you're like, oh my God, that person hated me. I did this wrong. You're projecting onto that situation. And a lot of the times they never thought about that. They didn't, or they weren't thinking those things. But also, if you have ADHD, there is a chance this is something called RSD. I struggled with this a lot. It's rejection sensitivity dysphoria. And essentially RSD, rejection sensitivity dysphoria, is the actual pain that people with RSD feel when experiencing things like criticism or rejection. And that can manifest in a lot of different ways. You know, you can feel like everybody hates you. You can feel like your friends are always talking badly about you. You can, you know, have a fear of going on dates because you'll get rejected. You'll think you're unlovable. You think your worth is based on all of the things you do for others. It can result in people pleasing. Like, there are so many different ways this can manifest. And I think the biggest way to work through that is knowing about it, acknowledging like, okay, I have this sensitivity. I just need to be aware of this and keep this in mind and sort of keep it in my back pocket and then figure out tools that you can work through. And one of the biggest ones for me is affirmation and just reminding myself like, I'm cool as hell. Reminding myself of all the parts of myself that I love and all of the qualities in myself that I love to see in others, rather than focusing on the bad things or what people might not like about me. But a quote I've been reminding myself of lately is, if you want better answers, you have to ask better questions. So if I'm going to leave a situation and ask myself, oh my God, they probably hated me. I wonder if I did that wrong. What did I do wrong? What didn't I say right? Like, I leave a situation and I say to myself and I ask myself, I wonder what they loved most about me. I wonder what they took away from the situation because I loved this most about them. I learned this from them and that was really cool. Focusing on the things that you took away from the situation, how cool you thought that person was, and, you know, acknowledging the cool parts of you. Like, oh, that story I told was really cool. That's a really cool story. Or the way I listened during that conversation, that was an awesome quality in myself. I'm really glad I did that. You'll always find what you're looking for. So if you're focusing on the things that you did badly in a situation or the things that people might not like about you based on how you behaved in that certain moment, that's all you're going to see. And it's going to really ruin like your mindset and fuck with your head. So don't do that. Don't focus on those things. Focus on the things that you want to see more of. You'll always find what you're looking for. So look for the good things. And just, you know, take it one step at a time. It's not something that will change overnight. Next question is, did you go to college and for what? I did not go to college. Funny thing, I was a straight A student. I got incredible grades. Like, I think I had a 4.2 GPA until I stopped trying my senior year. I got accepted to a lot of really good colleges. I got accepted to Pennsylvania State University. I got scholarships, all of these things, but I committed to a college for a dual major in finance and business management, and then I dropped out right before school started. I withdrew my commitment because I was like, this isn't what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to go to school for finance. I don't even know what I want to do. Why am I going to go to school and wait? Like, not going to college was the best thing I ever did. If I can give you any piece of information, it's to wait to go to college until you're sure what you want to do and that thing needs a degree. So many people go to college just because it's what, you know, it's the paved path for us. People go to college just because they think they should. The amount of people that go to college not knowing what they want to do, choose a major, get a degree in something they don't enjoy, and then either get a job and a degree they don't enjoy and hate their life, or never use a degree and are in hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt for no reason, is astronomical. So if I can give you any advice, it's to, after high school, go experience. How are you expected to know what you want to do for the rest of your life at the ripe age of 18 years old when the only life experience you have is being around people who also are 18 years old and have no idea what's going on? You have no experience, even though, like, so many things can happen to you in high school and middle school and in your childhood. Like, I had a crazy childhood. I had a lot of experience, but, like, none that shaped me into knowing what I wanted to do with my life. It's impossible to know what you want to do with your life until you experience life and really get to know who you are. And that's what I mean by you have no life experience until you are out of high school, because you don't know who you are until you're out of high school. You've done the same thing every day of your life for the past 18 years. You, even if you transferred schools and moved around a lot, like, you take these classes and you just know what you were shown. And in America, you aren't shown a lot of things in school. So after high school, I recommend traveling, going and working a bunch of different jobs, you know, meeting a bunch of new people, talking to people, hearing about other people's life experiences, exploring the world, exploring yourself, trying out different hobbies, like, really getting to know what you like, what lights you up, what are you good at, what aren't you good at. And then once you decide the things you really like and you want to pursue, if that requires a college degree, then go to college. And if not, what an awesome thing you just did. That's what I did, and I don't regret it at all. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and like I said, I almost went to school for finance and business management, and I would have been miserable. I would have not wanted a job in finance at all. I think I probably would have dropped out of school, if I'm being honest, even if I did go, but I would have been miserable. There's not a single part of me that wanted to go to college or be in finance at all. And also, I can tell you right now, I'm making more money with no debt than if I would have went to school for finance, became a financial advisor or whatever. I'm making more money now than I would have then. So no, I didn't go to college. I decided to take a gap year is what I called it, but I knew I wasn't going to go to school, and just try to figure it out. So I started a podcast the summer after I graduated high school. This is this podcast that you're listening to, because that's something I always wanted to do. I wanted to be like a YouTuber or a podcaster. I just wanted to be a content creator since I was little. I always watched YouTube and I really loved it because I'm just a creative person and I love to talk and I love to create. But I didn't, you know, expect that to be my job by any means. And then in February of 2020, I became a travel agent because I love to travel and I saw that as an opportunity to explore entrepreneurship and working for myself. It's not entrepreneurship, but, you know, working for myself. And then COVID hit a month later, so that didn't work out. And then in July or August of 2020, I started seeing TikToks about virtual assistants. And in August, I was like, okay, let's go. I just decided to go for it and I became a virtual assistant, and then that really worked out for me. Eventually that evolved into me being an online business manager, which eventually evolved into me doing what I do now, which is video editing, podcast editing and management, creative direction, anything creative for creators or business owners, I do. So like I said, I edit YouTube videos or TikToks. I edit videos. I edit and manage podcasts. I do creative direction. I help with content strategy. I do graphic design. I do web design a little bit. Like, I'll do anything creative. I absolutely love it. And I really love what I'm doing. And also, I've recently, you know, grown my social medias, and I'm making money off of that, which is insane. Something I've wanted to do for so long, and I never thought it was possible for me. And, you know, I had to work through some limiting beliefs, and here we are, and it's really awesome. And sorry, my cord on my mic keeps disconnecting, so it keeps cutting out. I don't think you're supposed to just hold this mic like this. But anyway, my goal is to go full-time content creation this year, which is definitely going to happen. I need to get a manager. That's a goal of mine, to help me get good brand deals and stuff. But and then just take clients on the side, because it is like, being a business owner is not all rainbows and butterflies. It's amazing, and I would never change it for the world. Like, I will always do this to some aspect. Like, I don't ever want to go back to working in corporate or, you know, anything. I always want to be my own boss, but it's a lot on your nervous system to, like, not really have stable income. Like, it could be taken, like, it's not promised to you, essentially, even though, like, in corporate, I guess you could be laid off. But anyways, next question. What counts as actually doing good? Feeling good. Are you happy? Are you enjoying life? Are you feeling good mentally, physically, emotionally? That's what counts as doing good. Is it possible to follow your creative passion without financial support? That's what I did. Although I was nannying when I first started my business, I think you need to, you know, still be realistic. Like, have a way to make money and support yourself while you are first starting out, because it does not happen very often where you know, overnight, like, make your income. It took me a really long time to get to a point where I was making steady income. Like, I had steady income here and there, but, like, I didn't start making good money until last year. And it took a lot of hard work, but also, like, you gotta learn, you know, it's so worth it. You just have to want it bad enough, you know. Like, a lot of people give up because it doesn't end up being worth it to them, but, like, if you want it bad enough and if it's worth it to you, you'll make it work. But you do need to have, you know, some sort of financial support in the beginning, and you can do both. If you want it bad enough, you'll do both. You'll make it work. Do you still talk to your family that you're healing from? This is a good question. I think this really depends on different points of your journey. At this moment in time, yes, I do still talk to the family that I'm healing from. But this recently just changed. When I first moved to Boston in June, I, like, stopped talking to everybody in my family, because I really, like, that was the first time I ever left. That was the first time I was ever away from them, and I needed to just not talk to them, because I had to heal from so much. So much stuff came up the first time I moved out and moved away from home, because it was the first time I was away from them, and it was the first time my body was like, okay, we're ready. Like, it's safe for us to bring this up. You're not there anymore. You're ready to face this. And I couldn't talk to them because it was too much for me. Like, I was so angry with them. So many things came up that I was like, wow, you should not have done that to me. And I was really angry. I went through my really angry phase at my family over the summer. And a part of me was like, I don't ever want to speak to any of you again. And then that changed. You know, I worked through those emotions. And now we're, like, at the best point in our relationship we've ever been with everyone in my family. A big one for this is my father. I'm not at a point yet where I want to talk about what happened with my father, just because I'm still working through it. There's so many things that I just don't remember. And that's really difficult, is when you're trying to heal from something you don't remember. Specifically with my father, there were just so many things that I was like, I know you fucked me up, but I don't know exactly what happened. And I didn't feel validated in my feelings because I didn't know exactly what happened, you know? So it felt weird, like, trying to heal from something when I didn't know what happened, but I knew something fucked up happened, if that makes sense. So in May of 2021, I texted him and I just said, like, please don't reach out to me anymore. It was more than that. I communicated more than that, but I don't want to say it all. And I blocked him and I didn't speak to him for a year and a half. And then recently, when I was in Florida right before I left, I think I want to make a whole episode on this. I'm going to make a whole episode on, like, what I learned in Florida, and this will be a part of it. But to briefly touch on it just to answer this question. I think it was in December. I was having dream, or I was doing meditations, and every night before I go to sleep, I do a sleep meditation. And in my meditation, well, actually, before I get to that, I've been manifesting for a really long time that I'm going to remember my childhood and remember specifically what happened with my father, because I'm just at a point now where I'm like, I am ready. I'm ready to remember. I'm ready to remember. And I've been saying that for a while. And then a situation happened over the summer where someone in my family essentially like told him where I was living, or told like his family member where I was living in Boston and where I was going to move to, like the exact town I was going to move to in Florida. And I got so triggered. I had my first anxiety attack in a really long time because I had worked so hard to feel safe again and to not be afraid of him and, you know, to, you know, financially support myself to the point where I could move somewhere he didn't know where I was. And then the fact that a family member told them, it was just like, damn, I felt like my safety. I felt like a little kid again, who's like, you know, I never felt safe in my childhood, really. And I just felt like a little girl who like didn't have any control over my safety, which fucked me up because I was like, I worked so hard to do this and you just ripped that away from me. So like I said, I was manifesting, remembering then and saying I was ready. And then that happened. And I feel like the universe was like, girl, you are not ready. So then in Florida, I was healing and healing and healing. And I was like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I know I'm ready. I need to start remembering this. Like, it's time. And I was doing meditations. I meditate every night as I'm falling asleep. And I kept having this, it was like a recurring meditation, like four nights in a row, where I sort of just meditate and let my mind visualize where I need to go. And I kept like being on a hike, and I would get to this like point in the hike where I couldn't go on anymore because my backpack or my pockets had rocks in them. And so I'd like start to empty these rocks out, and I'm like, what are these rocks? Like, I got so mad, and it was my father wounds, like my father issues. So I'm like throwing, it's like the fourth night, and I'm throwing these rocks out and like heal. I'm like actively healing through these things as I'm throwing them out and like, you know, consciously letting these things go. And the last night, I just like in the meditation screamed like, get the fuck out of my pockets. Stop coming back. I let these go. I let these go. I let these go. Like, I'm done. I'm over it. I'm letting these things go. I'm okay. I'm not holding on to this anymore. And I literally like heard this voice, and it was like sounded like my grandfather. And sorry if you hear my grandmother's phone ringing in the background. But I literally felt this overwhelming urge of like, reach out to him then. Oh, you're over it? Oh, you're letting it go? Reach out to him. And I was like, whoa, dude. And I was like, whoa, dude, reach out to him. What the fuck do you mean? I never wanted to talk to him again. I literally never planned on speaking to him again. And I sort of sat with it for a second, and it was like 11, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I could not sleep at all. And I was just thinking about it, like, reach out to him. Why? And I intuitively just knew that's what I had to do to heal the next layer. That's what I had to do to really work through this. So I texted him, and we have very brief communication here and there. But I think for me, it was like taking the power back into my own hands, showing myself or whoever, like, I'm not afraid of you. You don't have any power over me. And when I reached out to him, I literally told him everything I've done. I told him where I was living, where I am living now, my plans. Like, I told him everything, because it was just like, I'm not afraid of you. I have no interest in having a relationship with you, but I'm not afraid of you. And literally, almost immediately after I did that, I started to have memories coming back. I still haven't remembered exactly what happened with him. And if that ever happens, I will let you know. I'm sure it will, because there's been times where it just like hits me and I'm like, damn. And I can tell I'm getting closer. I'm not quite there yet. But okay, I think I'm going to answer like maybe two more questions. And then move on. How to deal with close friends shutting you out after you tried to have a convo. I would go watch my last episode, which is on how to deal with toxic friends. What's your favorite band? The Wallows is definitely my favorite band. I also really like Sticky Fingers. Is that the name of the band? Still Woozy, Glass Animals, Tame Impala, but that's just Kevin Parker. I don't know if it's a... Tame Impala is not even a band, is it? No, it's just Kevin Parker. My top five favorite artists, Dominic Fike, The Wallows, Tame Impala, Mac Miller and Frank Ocean and Kid Cudi are all tied. And I'm forgetting someone. I really like Jaden Smith. Yeah, but Dominic Fike, Wallows, Tame Impala are definitely my top. And then I love Kid Cudi, Mac Miller, Frank Ocean. Anyway, do you think anyone can fully heal from trauma, or is it something you learn to live with? I don't think you can ever fully heal, just because I think you're constantly healing, and also you constantly are being traumatized, so you always have something to heal from. And I don't say that in a way of like, oh my god, it's negative. I say that in like, it's beautiful, because life is just, we're constantly healing. Every time you learn something new about the world is another layer deeper you can heal. But I don't think it's also something you just learn to live with. I just think we're constantly healing, and we're constantly getting hurt, and we're constantly loving and getting happy. Like, you know what I mean? Is there any way to have a healthy relationship with a narcissistic parent? Boundaries, strong boundaries, and a lot of self-respect, and just always checking in with yourself and walking away when you need to, taking distance when you need to. But that all has to be on your part, because I don't think the healthiness will ever come from their end. How to cope with time blindness? It's really affecting my and my family's life. I think setting reminders on your phone. I always have sticky notes around me, setting alarm clocks, just asking people to remind you. You know, if you don't like alarms or reminders, like, put on a playlist that you know is a certain amount of time, and when it ends or repeats, like, you know, you move on to the next task. But I honestly don't have the best advice on that, just because I'm not the best with it either. Someone asked, why did you choose no meds when it comes to ADHD? I honestly think I'm going to do a whole episode on this, because a lot of people are asking about the mushroom complex that I use and how I naturally treat my ADHD. So I'm going to make a whole podcast episode on that, but basically a little rundown why I chose no meds. A couple of reasons. One, I didn't want to go on stimulants because of my family's history with addiction. And a lot of people say stimulants aren't addictive to people with ADHD. That's okay. I am just choosing not to do it for my own personal, like, I just don't want to risk it. And also, I had been on anxiety and depression medication in the past, and it was just a whole process that was really, really hard on my mental health, of like trying to find a medication and a dosage that I liked and that worked for me. And I just didn't want to go through that process if I didn't have to. So I went the natural route first with the mushroom complex, and I am very glad I did. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to end this episode. I feel like this wasn't even a good episode, but I'm not going to say that. I just feel like there was a lot of technical issues. My mic kept cutting off. My camera cut off. My grandmother came in. I'm tired. But anyways, I'm going to end it here. Thanks for hanging out, friends. Let me stop beating up on myself. This was a great episode. And let me know what things you liked about it. Anyways, I love you guys. I'm gonna make a part two to this, just because there's so many questions I didn't answer, because I am a blabbermouth and I talk a lot. This is a shorter episode, 33 minutes. Hell yes, Allison. Okay, anyways, love you guys. Go follow me on Instagram and TikTok at the Allison LaRue. Stay tuned for all my travel adventures. You're the best. Be nice to yourself. Have a good week. You deserve healthy love. Bye, friends.